morning, Delaware Valley. Good morning, everyone. This is Gary Moore, and you're just tuned in to Gary Moore Live presents the Voices of Righteousness. So sit back, relax. We have two great speakers today, and I'm telling you, God's going to change your life today according to his word.
This is WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio. You've been listening to the ever-changing world news. Now listen to the never-changing good news, life-changing good news, with Bishop George E. Gibson II.
Well, good morning to you all, and thank you for joining me for Good News with the Bishop. It's the third Sunday morning. God has been faithful, and he has been kind to us. Thank you for your participation and sharing. I want you all to consider supporting this broadcast. The Cash App is already always made available for you. And if you would, $ Bishop GG27, share with us as we continue to put good news on the air. This morning, I want to share a word from Matthew 13, 57 through 58. Matthew 13, 57 through 58. So they were offended at him, but Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house." Now he did not do many miracles or mighty works there because of their unbelief. I want to talk for a little bit with you on this morning about without honor, without honor. Chapter 13 of Matthew's gospel is laced with the language of the Lord. Seven parables speak to the human experience and illuminates the kingdom's agenda. Jesus's teaching method that often utilize common scenes from everyday life to teach new truths about the kingdom's mindset. The citizens of Nazareth acknowledge the good work that Jesus was doing, but failed to discern the source of his authority. So I pray today that we be forever mindful not to become complacent about our Father's grace and his loyal love towards us. While all believers are granted insight into the scriptures, the teaching ministry of the church is still necessary for the spiritual health of God's people. When you look at 1 John 2:27, "But anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." We all to base our walk with the Lord on the truth of what he has given us. Believers who know God's standard and desire for us but fail to put these truths into practice in their lives were also not mature in Christ. Jesus here speaks of scribes being trained for the kingdom in Matthew 13, 51 through 52. And in his day, the scribes were those specially trained to interpret the law, the prophets, and the Mosaic tradition. Matthew 13, listen again, 51 through 52, Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" Then said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." I want you to hear that, things new and old. Jesus parcels an interesting phrase, things new and old. He is referring to the truth about the kingdom that were found in the Old Testament and those that were freshly revealed in the parables that he just shared. When you really think about it, the one place we might expect Jesus to receive a warm welcome is in Nazareth, the town in which he was raised, his hometown. The people of Nazareth, Jesus' hometown folk, are amazed at the wisdom and power of the carpenter's son. This is due to their familiarity with Jesus and his upbringing. They know his family well, and apparently no one in his clan is all that remarkable. Lacking a formal education, Jesus should not be able to teach with the authority that he conveys. Yet Mary's son is unafraid to instruct with boldness. We would therefore expect the people in Nazareth to experience awe when in the presence of Jesus, whose teaching demonstrates that he is the Holy One of God. To his hometown, Jesus is just Jay, the carpenter's son, the skilled craftsman and worker. Just saw him the other day, someone says. What a fine job him and his father did on our beautiful dining room table, matching chairs and china cabinet. The miracle worker is in their midst, and they don't acknowledge or take notice. Their honor is misconstructed, misread, and misinterpreted. Verse 57 brings clarity to the situation. Please don't miss this. Their questions arise from the contempt and offense. Basically, they are saying, who does the carpenter's son think he is? He is no scribe, and his family has no pedigree or special ancestry. How can he possibly act as if he has the right to do what he is doing? So is this a repeat, reheat, and a rewind? Is the multitude's madness misleading also again? We've heard this rhetoric before. Dishonor is a callous and cold-hearted position. Just one chapter ago, and now conveniently amnesia has hit this group. This people, they are possessed as a people with just convenient amnesia. When you look at chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind, and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Transliteration said, this one can't be the son of David. Can he? The question expected a negative answer. Even though they could not deny his wisdom and his miraculous power, but they were utterly perplexed by these facts. They seemed to indicate some kind of divine or supernatural origin, but his fellow compatriots could not accept or allow this to be true due to their preconceived ideas. So the lofty interrogative lifted upon the people indicate that they took offense at him. Offense, the stumbling over the facts. Offense, they were caused to reject him. Offense, because they could not accept such a deduction from his miracles and teaching. Jesus understood people very well, especially those of his hometown, and he expected nothing less than their rejection. However, the real tragedy here is that by their fact of their lack of faith, they cut themselves off from a blessing. Did you hear what I just said? I said their lack of faith cut them off from a blessing. We are told that he didn't do any more miracles there. He could do absolutely none there. The result of denying Christ is to be cut off oneself off from blessings. No mighty works of conversion followed where he is denied while the marketplace of God's grace is still open, it is never too late to change one's mind. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the word says, you shall be saved. Florence King says, familiarity doesn't breed contempt, it is contempt. For them, familiarity has breed contempt, and they will do whatever they can to deny the obvious. So why do we deny the obvious? Why do we act like we didn't see what we saw? Why do we doubt? Well, we have seen the delivering hand in action. Even those at the feeding of the 4,000 and the 5,000 knew that the prerequisite was you had to hear the lesson before you received the lunch special. How can we and how come we can't simply applaud greatness and high achievers? Why do we allow scrutiny to sabotage success? Our pre-notion and our pseudo-Christian culture is profane, not as and speaking profanity or foul language, but the profanity of treating divine things with a special call, casual, apathetic, flippant attitude. We profane holy things by making them common, making them ordinary, making them usual, mundane, and routine. Interesting enough, only those who know the holy are in danger of becoming too familiar with it. Believers, those who are not yet acquainted with the holy cannot profane that they do not understand the danger of familiarity. I have to leave you, running out of time, is in knowing and taking it for granted. We used to covenant the presence of the Lord, but now we take it for granted. We were once in all of him, but now we are no longer amazed. This visitation becomes more and more routine, more ordinary, more commonplace. The songs we sing become a habit. The Bible we read becomes dry, stale, and boring. The testimonies and praise report we hear from our brothers and sisters don't move us because we have seen and heard it all before. You are about to flatline your faith because it has lost its fire. Familiarity will breed spiritual leprosy, spiritual blindness, spiritual stagnation, cause disobedience to your pastor, leader, mentor, coach, employee. It takes away the fear of God, causes you to lose divine direction, and causes you to be substituted. Please, brothers and sisters, I close. Don't lose your blessing because of this sin. Learn to take the thing and servants of God with great regard, and you will see the blessings of God overflowing in your life. Not out of word. I'm sorry. Out of time. Have a great day. Love you. Make sure you're not without honor.
You've been listening to Bishop George E. Gibson II on Good News with the Bishop. Meet us here every Sunday from 7 to 7:15 in the morning. You can follow the Bishop on Instagram, @official_BishopGeorgeGibson, one word, or on Facebook at Bishop George, one word, Gibson. If you would like to partner with us, use the Cash App using the $ and Bishop GG27. Have a blessed day.
Wow, what a wonderful word. What a wonderful word. We're getting ready to bring on the next speaker, and we're doing that now.
Yeah. Hey man, let me tell you about this place where I found love, I found peace, I found joy, and I found myself. I was looking for a place where I could learn, grow, and develop. Man, it's crazy. Yeah, listen. I was looking for a place to go and a place to grow, a place yielded to the Holy Ghost where the Spirit flows. PowerPoint game crazy, vibrant visuals, and when healing time comes, signs and wonders really show. Learning principles got me walking in my blessings. Taking notes got me learning spiritual lessons. I felt home where the love was developed. I was looking for a place where I could learn, grow, and develop, and I found that, yeah, at this place called Liberty Temple, Philly West. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Early. Listen, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you to our broadcast. We are absolutely excited to be bringing the word of the Lord to you today. The difference between success and failure is truly information. And we are praying that this information is going to help you with mindsets, attitudes, belief systems, and even behaviors that are going to help you on your path of your life assignment and to be successful. If you do what you've always done, you will truly have what you always had. We welcome you to your new day.
Is held up and why your win is in question is because your head is not straight, your mindset and your vantage point is where your perception is needs to be adjusted. Number two, your sourcing. Who do you look to for resources? Who is the first person that you think of? Do you think of calling mama? Do you think of calling daddy? Do you think of calling your pastor? Do you think of calling this person? Or is your first default, I'm going to get on my knees and pray to God because God is my source? Do you see it? And so your sourcing has to change. Number three, you've got to understand that principle-centered living is what unlocks the power of God. The power of the highest is going to begin to overshadow you. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So I came to tell you today that there are realms that are opening over your house. There are realms that, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. There are realms that are opening over your life, even as I'm talking to you right now. I said realms. I said things are opening up to you that you did not have open to you before I started talking to you. But I came as the prophet today to tell you that the foretelling, to give you an inside edition to know of a preview of a coming attraction. You have realms that are open to you. And this open realm, the power of the highest that is getting ready to open over your life right now while I'm talking to you, is going to cause you to conceive things out of your womb that you did not believe could come out of your season. You've been praying for it. You've been wanting it to happen, but you didn't believe it was going to happen. Yeah, are you hearing what I'm saying? But because of the realms that are opening over your life right now, these realms now are causing what's going to dictate the power of the highest coming on you and the Holy Spirit overshadowing you. And now you're getting ready to produce unprecedented things. The kind of stuff that people say, how did you do that? That's what I hear the Lord saying. The people are going to ask you, how did that happen? How did you do that? Because it's going to be eye-catching. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. It's going to be mind-blowing. Okay, it's going to be game changing. Write it down. I'm not lying to you. He's saying here, these realms are opening unto you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about your next steps. Okay, I'm talking about your next steps. Your future is brighter than what you think it is, but you got to change your mindset and you got to change your vantage point. Your future is a lot brighter going forward than it is staying stagnant. It's a lot brighter going forward than it is backsliding. It's a lot brighter going forward than it is on giving up. You're not hearing what I'm saying. Notice that you are on a new highway. And this highway, ladies and gentlemen, is going to cause you to produce and birth unprecedented. God, I'm talking to somebody. Somebody be feeding off this right now. Unprecedented things that are going to cause you to operate at another level. Let me wrap it up. Verse 36 and 37. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth has already conceived. God told me to tell you that this was a season of possibilities for you. And in the season of possibilities, he's getting ready to connect you with other people who have already produced what he's telling you to do. You're not hearing what I'm saying. You need to be around a new group of people whose wombs are activated. Right there. Somebody needs to understand that you are around the wrong group of people. You have an active womb around people who don't even know they got a womb. You have active wounds by people's wounds who have been deactivated because they are not connected to the right sourcing. But God says he's shifting the relationships in this season of your life because you need to be around people who are already conceiving, already producing unprecedented things. See, what Elizabeth was doing was unprecedented because she was too old. She had a man, but she was too old. Her womb was dead, but God activated her womb. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he said, this already took place 6 months ago, baby girl. You're just not finding out. But I'm telling you right now, 6 months has already elapsed. You hear what I'm saying? So this, the unprecedented, fresh, new thing that God is doing in your life, he already started. It didn't just come. It's already been here. You just now finding out about it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's saying verse 37, because here's my point. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Let me say it to you another way so you can understand the early James way of saying things. Verse 38 tells us, and he says, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Notice the shift. People read this and don't even realize she shifted. She said, behold, I am what you said I am. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Do you see it? She wasn't talking like that before. Are y'all seeing this? This is why you need word token. I keep telling you, you need to register for it. Watch this. He says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Whole lot of things I don't understand, but I like what you're saying, and I accept the offer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I accept what you are saying that I'm capable of doing. My God, are y'all seeing this? So we have to begin to understand what accepting the offer actually means. Many of us are seated in positions like this, hoping that things will happen to us, hoping that things will work out for us, but not necessarily sure we qualify. Not necessarily sure. Yeah, we can see it through somebody who's powerful, but we don't believe necessarily that we are powerful. We can see it through people that are anointed, but we don't necessarily classify ourselves as anointed. And so he's saying the season of opportunity will work for you, but you need to understand a few things. Number one, belief unlocks opportunity while unbelief limits it. Did you catch it? Belief unlocks opportunity while unbelief limits it. When you don't understand that, your unbelief is what's limiting you. Your comfort level with unbelief is what is causing you. Your analytics is what is causing you to be limited. Right there. But when you understand that I'm just going to believe what God said, I'm accepting the offer. I'm going to learn how to accept offers again. I'm going to open the door to opportunity for me, right? Because the key to unlock the door of opportunity is belief, while unbelief locks me out. Are you seeing it? Okay. 1 Samuel 15:22. When? So we learn we got to change our mindset. We learn we got to adjust, right? We learned that we got to get our sourcing right. Are y'all seeing it, right? We got to get our source right. God's got to be our source. And then we got to learn how to live principle-centered living, all right? But here's the fifth thing that you need, that your when can come to pass. The prophet of God, Samuel, says to Saul, he says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. In other words, God says, you can't buy your way into your win. You can't manipulate your way into your win. It's not how about you dress to get the prophet to notice you, just to get the prophet to prophesy to you. God says, no, there's a deeper issue here. The issue is building a lifestyle of obedience. Do you see it? Because the key to seeing the win is learning how to respond when God talks to you. Are you hearing it? Bible tells us in the New Testament, see that you refuse it, not him that speaketh from heaven, all right? But I'm saying this to you so you understand, when heaven speaks, it waits in the earth for a response. Do you see it? So if God spoke to you, why ain't you moved? If God spoke to you, why haven't you adjusted? If God spoke to you, why are you still thinking toxic? Why, if God spoke to you, why haven't you made the adjustment in sourcing? Why are you still looking to people to be your man when God said, I'm the man? There's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. All right. So if you're going to look to a man, at least look to the right man. And so he's saying here that his obedience is better than sacrifice. Isaiah 11:19-20 tells us, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. So the only thing that's locking us out of the good of the land is not people not telling us, not people not, we don't know rich people, we don't know influential people. No, the problem is you don't live a life of obedience, a lifestyle, a pattern of obedience, obeying the last thing that God said to you, learning how to respond like Mary did, not meeting God's faith with doubt, but meeting God's faith with your faith. God believes in you, but do you believe in God? Do you believe in yourself? See, we're not responding to him right. And because we're not responding to him, we have not built a pattern of obedience. These simple, simplistic principles will help you to process prophecy. If you will simply do what I just showed you, I wasn't trying to be deep with you. I wasn't trying to impress you. I wasn't trying to tell you social security number, none of that. No. All right. I'm trying to show you what to do when you have a prophetic moment. I'm saying this to you so that you understand, if you understand these basic principles, these things will unlock the dimension of possibility to you. You see, it's always been there for you, ladies and gentlemen, but you got to know the how. You got to understand what the Word of God says and what we need to do. My encouragement to you is that you need to listen to this over and over again until it is cemented in your spirit. Do you see it? Look up the scriptures. Go and look at the Hebrew and the Greek. See it for yourself so that you understand this is the word of the Lord for me. God wants you to be educated, not ignorant, concerning his movement. Do you see it? Because when you are ignorant of his movement, you cannot partake of what he said. And so there are things that he has downloaded in his will. All the promises of God are already approved. Bible says you're daily loaded with benefits, but if you don't know how to access those benefits, that's just language. You don't really, it doesn't do nothing for you because you can't tap into it. We're talking about tapping in to prophecy. All right. I want to be the prophetic person's best friend, right? I want to teach you what to do with prophecy when you receive it. Because if you understand how to do this, you are ready for prophetic moments and prophetic experiences. What you're going to begin to see is an increase in signs and wonders and miracles, supernatural power of God taking place in your life. You're going to see the increase of downloads of visions and dreams. You're going to have more prophetic experiences. You're going to have more interactions. You know why? Because God says he doesn't cast pearl before a swine. In other words, he means I don't put things in front of people who don't know how to manage it, because he's not in the business of just giving things out so the devil can steal them. Do you see it? If it was meant for you, he wants you to keep it. Am I talking right? So you have to understand how to process prophecy. We're in a prophetic age, not generation, age. And when you're in a prophetic age, you must be prophetic, right? In order to receive the prophetic experience, you have to be prophetic. And so today, we're fundamentals. All right. There are others that are, you know, are governmental, and they can take you much deeper than that. But this is the foundation that will help you to know how to manifest prophecy. And you'll begin to see your wins start to come up, because I prophesied to you and telling you God is dealing with old words. There's a whole lot of words that's just been hanging on pause, whole lot of words that have been waiting. All right, for you to get the right mindset, for you to get your sourcing right, and for you to understand the principles that release the power of God, right? And if you understand those things and you know how to treat prophecy and the fact that I'm going to prepare for the prophetic experience because I know the person's been praying, the prophet and the apostolic gift, whatever it is, has been preparing before they came before me. So I want to make sure that I come correct. Everybody has to come prepared to the experience in order to experience the supernatural power of God.
Well, there you have it. That's been the word for today. Govern yourselves accordingly. Everything that you've heard in your hearing has been just for you. Thank you for tuning in. Tune in next week at the same time, same station. God bless you.